Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There have been wonderful cult leaders out there. There have been wonderful propagandists out there. There's only one who can switch around an opinion in a matter of a phone call, and that is the great Nathan Zagura.
I run the underworld, guy. I decide who does what and where they do it at.
He joins us right now, courtesy of the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. Bronx senior media analyst. Hello, Nathan.
Ken, Anthony, what a pleasure, what an honor it is to be on with you guys this morning. And that was some introduction. Thank you for all the credit there.
It's true. I've been told that I won't tell the story in front of you, which I have. I live the story. That last year, and this is why you'll never, as an influencing a person as you can be, you will never, ever get my preseason win total prediction again. Because I said... I'll say it real quick. I said 6-10 last year going into last season, and you pulled down the schedule from the wall, and you and Matt Wilhelm berated me like I was a member of ISIS in an interrogation about where I would find 10 losses on that team. And then, of course, they went 1-15, so I guess I won the pony, but I can never allow you to do that to me again, Nathan. I'm sorry.
You know, that's fine, Ken. You know, one of the things that you got to do, you got to try to stay positive here, obviously, as a Browns fan, which can be difficult at times. But I think, you know, this year, it's funny, they're much better than they were last year. And I think right in that, you know, 5-6 area would be an absolute treat for all of us. Because the way that I see it, this is the year you're jumping onto the trampoline. And then next year, 2018, is when you really, hopefully, should take a step forward, given the talent that's been added to the Browns.
Well, we got some things that we got to run by you here. And first off, Lima and I have had a major disagreement about Brock Osweiler. But let's first start with Cody Kessler. Lima believes that Cody Kessler, and I don't want to speak for you, Lima, so go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong here. Lima believes that Cody Kessler could be traded by camp's end.
Yeah, the whole thesis behind this, Nathan, is that Brock Osweiler comes into camp, looks good in training camp, looks good in preseason games, and Hugh Jackson says, all right, that's the starting quarterback. And because Kizer is somebody who we've all said we want to see what we have in him at some point this year, to have him be third string behind Cody Kessler, who's been, as Ken has said repeatedly, kind of a safe choice, kind of a backup quarterback situation, and considering the concussions too, I don't know how much value Cody Kessler would have, but the Pro Football Focus numbers love him. The analytics people, they love him around the league.
That's Ken's favorite website, by the way.
It is.
Ken
studies it every morning.
Oh, definitely.
It's his go-to page. So I can envision a scenario where that would be the case. Tell me I'm wrong.
So I have a tougher time with that, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't – and look, it's not like Brock Kessler is old. I would imagine at some point this year they do want to see DeShone Kizer. So even if Brock's your starter, at some point I do think you want to see Kizer. And I think they like Cody. I think Cody absolutely exceeded expectations. I mean, I remember getting on the plane after the preseason game at Green Bay and talking to Cody, and he looked like a total deer in the headlights. So for the way that he came out and performed, granted, was he, you know, he didn't win a game. Obviously the biggest and most important thing you need to do in the NFL, but had a good accounting of himself. I think that they see him as a guy that could be a long-term backup, whereas if you look at Brock, if Brock starts part of the year, you bring Kizer in, is Brock going to be happy to be a backup? You know, there were the reports of him being a little bit of a malcontent in Houston. Now, I believe, at least from talking to a lot of people, Bill O'Brien, there's going to be big eyes on Bill O'Brien for how he handles DeShone Watson, Tom Savage, how that whole situation goes down. But nonetheless, I would be shocked. That would be as out of left field as them trading Kizer to me.
Would you be surprised, say, and we went over this, if Brock Osweiler wasn't the starter week one, would you be surprised if they moved on from him, if they couldn't get a trade partner and actually put him on the free agency market, knowing he might get picked up and you wouldn't have to pay the entire $16
million? Not at all. And in fact, I think that that is the most likely outcome. Either Brock Osweiler, I think it's kind of A or B for him. He's either the starting quarterback on week one, or he is not on the team week one. And the reason for that is at $16 million and knowing the way that Sashi Brown and company like to do business, I don't see them saying to themselves, okay, we're going to have a $16 million backup quarterback on this team. And so if Brock starts and he earns it, and I think, by the way, for Brock to be the starting quarterback week one, he's not only going to have to be better than Kizer and Kessler, he's going to have to be much better than Kizer or Kessler because of the salary number and because of the realistic nature of how this team views itself and where it is. Now, if they see Brock does something where they say, man, this guy could be the future, that might change things. But I don't see that scenario unfolding because Deshaun Kizer in camp, while he had his ups and he had his downs, I think he consistently made the best throws and demonstrated the best physical ability of anybody every day. Now, he also made some of the worst throws of camp or the worst decisions as a rookie, but he certainly got better as camp went on. And I think at the end of the day, if Brock Osweiler is in the same stratosphere as Kizer or Kessler, it's going to be very difficult for him to be that starting quarterback. And I just don't see the Browns taking $16 million when if they release him, and let's say somebody gives him $5 million. Like Josh McCown is making $5 million right now. Brock Osweiler can get signed somewhere for $5 million, or maybe a team has an injury like we saw with Teddy Bridgewater last year, and Sam Bradford all of a sudden was worth a first-round pick. So I do think that he's either the starter week one or he's probably playing somewhere else, because if you get even $5 million back this year, that's $5 million you can carry forward to next year when you think you're going to be adding another piece that can really help this team get over the hump.
Nathan Zucura joining us from the Browns Radio Network on the hotline. How fair of a shot will these quarterbacks be given? We know that we all want to see Deshaun Kizer, and what a story it would be around the NFL if Kizer steps up and impresses so much to where he pulls almost a scenario last year with Carson Wentz where he comes out and he's the starting quarterback right away. That'd be a huge story, and I think that would mean we're in pretty good hands with him at quarterback. But how much of a fair chance will all three quarterbacks be given in camp?
I think it's going to be 100% open competition for these guys. I'm very curious to see what the depth chart is when they return to training camp. We know when they left training camp, it was Kessler 1, Osweiler 2, Kizer 3. But when you actually watched it, it was Kessler and Kizer splitting the first-team reps with Osweiler taking all of the second-team reps. So I think Kizer is going to get every single chance. I think it deep down, when you think, ask Hugh Jackson, which one of these quarterbacks can run the offense the way that you want it to be run, it's Deshaun Kizer. And, you know, the biggest issue for him is consistency right now. That was something that they talked about in college, et cetera. But, you know, watching him right now, if I was watching Deshaun Kizer and they said, all right, Deshaun Kizer is going to make two throws and your life is going to be on the line, you can have him either throw a 20-yard dig into a tight window that he literally has to fit the football through, or he's going to throw a 5-yard crossing route to somebody wide open. Honestly, right now, from what I've seen, I want him throwing that 20-yard dig. And in the NFL, he's going to make those plays that can win you games, those chunk plays. Where he's got to get better is hitting those nice, easy layups. And when he can do that, he's going to become a pretty complete quarterback. But I think he's going to absolutely get a fair chance because of his physical gifts. The guy's got the size. He's got the arm. He's got the athleticism. Kessler has the advantage of knowing the system. And then Osweiler's the only guy on this team that's won a game in the NFL. So I do think they'll get a chance. I will say that I think the grading scale for Brock Osweiler will be tougher than anybody else because of the salary number that he carries.
Nathan Zagura joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. We do Would You Rather on Tuesdays. This one has picked up so much steam. Kirk Cousins or Deshaun Kizer as Browns franchise quarterback, 51% right now, say Kirk Cousins. It's 51-49 over Deshaun Kizer. What say you?
I mean, if you're saying right now and this team's going to go to the playoffs this year, or
the future of the franchise, the franchise quarterback.
I'd rather have Kizer, and I'll tell you why. I feel like I have seen the ceiling of Kirk Cousins. I mean, first of all, they don't even know how to call him Kirk Cousins. They were calling him like Kirk.
They'll figure it out eventually.
Hopefully, you would think. But to me, if you're the franchise quarterback, you know the name, and they're struggling to give him. They're at a point where maybe they feel like Cousins is kind of like Andy Dalton in a sense. That yes, he's good. Yes, we can win games with him, but we can't go all the way. I almost think that's a purgatory that is worse in the NFL. At this point, I don't think Kirk Cousins is a guy that's going to take me all the way to the promised land, so I don't have any interest. I want to find out if Kizer is that guy, and if he's not, then you get somebody else. But to me, Cousins has a ceiling where he's not going to be in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Could he be in the top half? Maybe. And I think when you're in the top half, yes, with everything else perfect, you can win a Super Bowl, as you saw with Joe Flacco and the Ravens a few years back. But at the end of the day, I'm looking for a guy who has all the tools to be the man on a level where he is the identity of your franchise. I mean, even for the last few years, you don't think of the Washington Redskins go, oh, man, that's Kirk Cousins' team. It's not like an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but
it's not like even a Matt Stafford.
No, you're right, Nathan, but we get into the situation where beggars can't be choosers, and Ken said he's the perfect test case. He's almost in that Alex Smith range, except you know, the difference is Cousins actually puts up incredible stats. Some of them might ring hollow. You know, he doesn't have a playoff win on his resume, but we're sitting there looking at the guy. These numbers is a ceiling. If you told me a Browns quarterback, by the way, in a dysfunctional, completely dysfunctional organization in which Washington has been, 97 quarterback rating, 5,000 yards passing, and 25 touchdowns, that's a pretty decent ceiling, is it not?
It's a very good ceiling. I would say a guy who's got 5,000 yards should certainly have more than 25 touchdowns in today's NFL. But, I mean, the same can be said when you look at, you know, peak Andy Dalton numbers, right? Would you want Andy Dalton here?
He's right. Man, he's right. I say no, but I think Cousins is a little better.
I'll say yes. Andy Dalton was an MVP candidate before he broke his hand.
But he was on a loaded roster. I think Cousins has been a little bit better over the last 2 years.
That's my job, is to put talent on the field. Now he's going to find out because he doesn't have any offensive linemen this year. So I still think it's left to be seen. But, damn, that's a great point, Nathan.
You know, it's one of those things with the NFL, and it's obviously the most important position in all professional sports in terms of what your franchise can accomplish. And when I look at the mold of what a guy should be, and I know you could say, well, hey, Brandon Weeden was tall and had a big arm. Brandon Weeden and Kizer, just from watching them now that I've had the opportunity, totally different players in terms of the way that they operate and execute things. But Kizer's got all of the gifts. Can he give that return back? I don't know. I just remember that after the Texas game this year, people were pretty sure he was going to be the number one overall pick. And I think for the Browns, they lucked into a situation where they get to take a shot on a guy who was the fourth player they drafted. I mean, most teams, when they turn in the card on the fourth player they're drafting in the draft, that's a pick in the fourth round. And for the Browns, it happened to be the 52nd overall pick. I like him. I'm optimistic about him. I also think, and the other reason is to give Kizer a look, because you're saying right now, if you could get Kirk Cousins right now, I think you have Kizer, or you're looking at Kizer as a package, right? It's Kirk Cousins versus Kizer, and if Kizer isn't that guy this year, this team's probably going to struggle, versus maybe a Josh Allen, a Sam Darnold as well. So you have the opportunity with those assets. I'm looking at it as a two-for-one with young guys that can be here forever and that should have the gifts and the profile that make them the kind of guy that can take you all the way.
All right, Nathan, I'm being told we've got about 20 days until we hear something about Josh Gordon. It's in that 90-day window. Are you hearing anything?
I'm not hearing anything, and I got to tell you, I love Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
I love
him.
When I have an opportunity to speak with this kid, I love him as a kid. I still remember vividly being on the sidelines in Tampa Bay last year, week three of the preseason, where we're going to be again this year for week three. I think he had two catches, over 80 yards and a touchdown, roasted Brent Grimes, who was still playing pretty good football, at least he thought he was going into that season. And you just see the guy. He's an absolute freak. He's a monster. He looks like a different species of person out there. The game is so easy for him, and it is so unfortunate to me that whatever's going on with him off the field and whatever you can think of the rules of the NFL and how stringent they are and if they're fair or not fair, that it has prevented Josh Gordon, or he has prevented himself, from being able to play in the NFL. I'm done with it. The ship has sailed as far as I'm concerned in my mind. I can't even think about it anymore because I got all the way back last year, and then all of a sudden it was just taken away. And you know, it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I do say this, if he ever plays in the NFL and is great again, I certainly hope it's in a Browns uniform, but at this point I can't put any type of investment into whether or not Josh Gordon returns to the Browns and plays for him at this point.
He's never that far away. He's always on Instagram, Nathan. You can always follow him there, of course. Nathan,
I do. Our social media relationship is great.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. I hope we get to do this again in the future, especially after some Browns victories.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'll see you in a few years.
I'm sure. Come on, Ken.
Nathan, thank you. Nathan Zagura. It's okay when I go in the building, I'll be right there with him as well. You know how that works. He's a propagandist, and he'll get me. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, if he's available, yeah, I might make the call because this is one of the hottest would-you-rathers we've ever had. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.